Next week, starting tomorrow actually, is National Fishing and Boating Week. Last year I was unable to partake in anything to do with this holiday, as I was recovering from surgery. This year, I am once again hamstrung, though this time the cause is my kicker needing to be sent to Anchorage to be made well again. So while I recognize what next week is, I do so with some degree of sadness. But don't let my current motor issue slow any of you down. Get outside and enjoy what our area has to offer, as far as fishing and boating. I would add, do so responsibly, with regards to coronavirus issues. I have commented on here before that urging those of us around rural Alaska to get out and use boats and go fish is a solid case of preaching to the choir. How many of us really need urging to participate in those two activities? It's likely many of you have already been hard at it since about the time the ice went off the lakes, and you don't plan on stopping until it shows signs of wanting to return. Be that as it may, next week is the actual, on a calendar, National Fishing and Boating Week. So let's give a bit of thought to fishing and boating, which is never a bad idea, right? Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. Fishing around Bristol Bay is different from fishing in a lot of other places because it comes in several forms. Across the lower 48, and other places in Alaska, mention fishing and the first thing that comes to mind is a rod and reel of some sort. Certainly that's the focus of the national celebration. But here, it's something of a Cerberus, a three-headed beast, if you will. Our three-headed fishing beast is commercial fishing, subsistence fishing, and sport fishing, in no particular order. I tend to concentrate on subsistence and sport fishing because of their importance to Togiak Refuge and my job, but all three have importance to people around the region. This year is going to be different, no doubt, due to the coronavirus. Locally, people are still getting geeked up. We're not far from subsistence nets being put out, and a lot of people are excited about sport fishing opportunities. I've heard stories about folks getting upriver to stake out their spots for when the kings hit the Nushagak, and I have at least one friend who made it up last weekend for that very purpose. Perhaps the biggest one for many is subsistence fishing. Getting those freezers filled yet again, that's a priority. I've said this before and I'll say it again. I'd be willing to bet dollars to donuts that it's a very small percent of people around the Bristol Bay region who aren't affected by or participating in fishing in some form. So the part of the week dedicated to celebrating fishing, yeah, we've got that covered and then some. Since the week as it's presented does focus on sport fishing, I'm going to spend a bit of time on that, while acknowledging that around Bristol Bay, other types of fishing can be at least as important, if not more so. First of all, let's dabble in a bit of history. National Fishing and Boating Week began in 1979 as National Fishing Week. It was created to recognize the wonderful tradition of fishing, to promote a spirit of togetherness, and to share the values and knowledge held by the anglers of today with future anglers. Early June was chosen as the time to celebrate these activities because, in many parts of our country, June is when fishing and boating really start to take off. Also, in places that charge folks to boat and fish, many states waive such fees for a short period of time and have free fishing days, often in the early parts of June, and people are able to get after it without any license, tags, or permits. I get email flyers to that effect from a buddy of mine who's a biologist in Kansas. Those flyers promote state waters there that are open to free fishing to celebrate National Fishing and Boating Week. While those free weekends or weeks might not mean anything here, they do a lot to promote fishing and boating across most of the lower 48, and that's a good thing. National Fishing and Boating Week is promoted by a national organization called the Recreational Boating and Fishing Foundation. The Recreational Boating and Fishing Foundation is a nonprofit organization dedicated to growing participation in fishing, boating, and aquatic stewardship. They partner with many industry, state, and federal organizations to work towards achieving that goal. Many refuges across the nation, as well as numerous state agencies and other related organizations, schedule fishing days or other local celebrations to coincide with this particular week. Many of these target young anglers specifically, but others reach out to participants of all ages. For example, I have a buddy that essentially had the same job as me, for Neosho National Fish Hatchery down in Missouri. He has since moved on to a public relations job with the Bureau of Land Management in Idaho. Hi, Bruce. There are waters to fish, a stream and a large pond, on the grounds for the hatchery he worked at, and one of his job duties was putting on a couple of fishing day events during the early parts of June each year. They still do that, but not with Bruce leading the way. And that's just one example. There have been studies done that show money often plays a role in an individual's decision not to participate in any given outdoor activity. Big surprise, huh? Certainly, startup cost can be a deal breaker for those getting started in many outdoor sports, fishing and boating included. However, it's been my experience that most outdoor activities can be as costly or inexpensive as you choose to make them. Good fun and good times can be had without taking out a second mortgage. Just because your neighbor has $50,000 tied up in his new boat, rods, and reels doesn't mean that you need that much to get started, if you're just getting started. In particular, fishing gear can be relatively inexpensive. Most outdoor equipment outlets, from Cabela's to Walmart, offer inexpensive rod-reel combinations of varying qualities. I don't think I've ever spent more than maybe $20 on a rod or reel for one of my kids, often from the bargain bin at Cabela's or from Amazon or eBay, and they've done fine with what they've been provided. At times, here in Dillingham, it seems like there's as many garage sales as people. Fishing gear can often be found amongst what's for sale, and at a price most anyone can afford. Also, broadcast your interest to friends and family members. They may have leads to people or sources for gear. The bottom line, fishing gear cost should never be what keeps you from fishing, if fishing is what you want to do. Let me give you an example on that. My oldest daughter is back from college. She'd like to do some fishing this summer, so I've told her I'll try to make it a point to get her out. She likes spin cast gear, as opposed to spinning rods and reels that are far more popular here. She has an ugly stick spin cast rod, but the reel that came with it, well, it leaves something to be desired. We plan to go up to the Agula Walk in the coming weeks, courtesy of a friend with a working boat and motor, to fish for char. And they are char, not dollies. You're welcome, Mark. To give her something to work with, I bought an old-school Zebco 404 in good condition and refurbished and put it on her rod. I spooled it with new 12-pound line. It was purchased for $6 on eBay. That's not to say a 404 is the answer for everyone, but I have supreme confidence that it will work well for her to catch char, and it cost almost nothing. You just have to be willing to identify what will work for you and then look around a bit to find it. Boating's a bit of a different matter, though there are still inexpensive options for those not wanting to drop thousands just to get out on the water. Inflatable boats and rafts can be good startup options, provided common sense and safety are adhered to. Canoes can be an absolute joy. They're lightweight, paddle easily, and get you into some places you might otherwise not have access to. It may take a bit of persistence, but good, dependable used canoes can be had for as little as a couple $100s. Keep your ears open for local opportunities, as good deals often don't last long. Craigslist is another option for shopping within the state, as a lot of people use that site to advertise, and sellers are often willing to deliver to one of the air freight companies. Larger boats can be found too. The skiff I currently use, a 20-foot Alumaweld with a 90-horse kicker, I found that on Craigslist and had it barged in for a lot less than I would have paid locally. The point is to just be diligent in looking for options that can get you out on the water. As in any activity you choose to do, be safe and be legal. Make sure you have all the necessary license and permits to do what it is you choose to do. It may be as simple as having a current fishing license, or it could involve a bit more. For example, for those around Dillingham who will be fishing for kings up the Nishigac in the coming weeks, you'll need a king tag and possibly a land use permit. It may be similar for those living in other communities. My point is, make sure you've got all your I's dotted and T's crossed, and always take the time to be safe. Don't take unnecessary chances. I've talked about the need for always wearing flotation devices, and it's always worth emphasizing. It can happen to anyone. I read a story on Facebook a week or so ago about a prominent angler and hunter who had a series of TV shows for which he was the host. He died a couple of weeks ago. He fell out of his boat while fishing. He was not wearing a life vest. Don't be that person. Make sure everyone in your boat has one, adult or child, all the time. It's the right thing to do. In closing, get outside. Be safe in how you do it, with regards to being on the water and with regards to the coronavirus. But yes, get outside. In the words of the famed poet William Blake, great things are done when men and mountains meet. This is not done by jostling in the street. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.